Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, here to help you find success in all areas of your life. The power is in your hands. Join our network for free at besteveryou.com. And now, here's Elizabeth.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Best Ever You Show. We are celebrating our, I want to say, like almost 14th year doing podcasts now. We started all the way back in 2010 when podcasts weren't a thing, and I'm just so grateful for all of your support over all of the years. It's just a blast to do this show, and we have multi-million downloads and all that good stuff, and it's all grassroots. I don't advertise much. And anyway, just very grateful, and very grateful for our guest today, a fellow HCI author, Heidi Byerly, with me. She is the author of the book, Heidi Across America. Heidi, welcome to the Best Ever You Show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Elizabeth. So wonderful to be here with you.
Yeah. So I'm going to spell your last name for everybody listening and direct people right to the website, because people like to scroll and poke their noses around as they're listening to us. So your website is HEIDIBEIERLE.com. So it's pronounced Byerly. And I have a link to your website in the show as well. And welcome.
Can I interrupt just a moment?
Yeah, did I spell it right or wrong?
No, you spelled it right, but for people who, that's a little too much, HeidiAcrossAmerica.com will get them there as well.
Oh, perfect. Okay, HeidiAcrossAmerica.com. I'll put that link with the show as well. Good to know that. All right, so tell us all about this book you've written. This is pretty cool. It's called Heidi Across America. What's your book all about?
Well, the book is set during 2010 when I rode my bicycle by myself across the country from Oregon to Washington, D.C., and I was studying bicycle tourism and rural economic development along the way. And the personal story about the book was more about, I was in a really low place in my life when I went out on this journey, and I thought, you know, this school thing that I was doing would fix it, but it just kind of made it worse. And all I really wanted to do was be on my bike. And I thought, this will be the solve to all my problems, all the things that are wrong with me and the ways I'm not measuring up. And well, the ride did totally change my life, not at all in the ways I thought. And the big things for me were coming to love me and the powerful person that rode their bike across the country was a really important thing. And the other thing that changed for me was I went from being somebody who didn't really give a whole lot of thought to America and what America was to being somebody who felt proud to be an American.
Yeah. What prompted you, like what really prompted you to do this? Because that's a pretty long bike ride. and are you a professional, you know, cyclist?
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of experience bike riding, or did you just like, hey, I'm going to get a bike and go for a ride here all the way across country? So tell us a little bit about your background and what really prompted this whole thing.
Yeah, so I have been an outdoor adventurer. And like a few years before I went on this ride, I had given away my car. And so I was just getting around town as a bike commuter, and I'd been a bike commuter before, and I was experimenting with longer rides. And that's sort of the context of my cycling. I'm not like a professional cyclist or anything like that. And then so I'm like in this phase of life where, you know, like I was underemployed, I was lonely, and I was just having a really hard time feeling like I was doing my job as a human on the planet. And I thought, you know, if I had like a better degree, a better educational background that, you know, that would open doors for me in terms of the things that I thought I would be good at doing. And so during the recession, I thought, well, I'll go back to school and I'll kind of get this ticket to life. And I was older, 35 at the time I went on this ride, so I was in my mid 30s when I went back to school, and I was thinking after the end of the first term, like, this was the wrong idea, like, this is not the solve. And I got this email that was like, well, it was from my mom. There's this conference in Washington, D.C. about historic roads, and, you know, your uncle is there. What about we go to this conference and we hang out with the uncle? It was just like a split-second thing. I was like, well, that's nice. It's in September. I was like, well, I could ride my bike out there. I'll meet you. And then I was like, and that was it. It was kind of a joke. And I was like, well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So I took my experience as an adventurer and married it with a bicycle and a research project. And that's how
Perfect.
I ended up.
Perfect. I love it. And how does that compare to, oh, say, writing a book?
Well, I think parts of writing a book are easier, but on the whole, I think writing and publishing a book is much harder than biking across the country by myself. But
authors,
I would say
everywhere,
it's maybe
are cheering
a little
right
less
now.
Dangerous.
Less dangerous, yeah. I said authors everywhere are cheering right now, and everybody's like, yes,
yeah,
it is. And but yeah, less dangerous. That sums it up nicely. when you set out to do something like this, is it all just, you know, perfect peachy and rosy the whole way? You know, you got, you know, nice 75 degree weather and no rain and no tires flat and no bugs and all that, or what kind of happened?
Absolutely. Nothing at all. You have to worry about
a little bubble,
you just
right?
pedal, you know, like you're on a trainer. Now, yeah, well, the book opens at this moment when I can't find a place to stay for the night, and I have to figure out how to, you know, how to make do.
Sure.
And yeah, you know, so there were definitely experiences like that. I was departing thinking that the worst thing I was going to encounter was like tornadoes or something like that in the middle of the country. But then I learned it wasn't tornado season. The weather that really, really negatively affected my ride was the heat. And anyway, yeah, that wound up being really quite a challenge. And you know, the animals that people would think would be a problem, like I read a lot of signs about how to protect yourself from bear attack or cougar attack or something like that. They were actually winged animals, and they were very small. They were mosquitoes. And then there was nothing that says how to protect yourself from being attacked by a swarm of mosquitoes. And there was also a moment where I had an encounter with a very large hawk. And again, I never read anything about how to deal with that. And people, you know, in vehicles are certainly
lovely, aren't they, when you're bike riding?
Unpredictable.
It has to
yeah.
be special.
So, you
we'll
know,
not put
for
a rating
part,
on
I
them.
Think people were really lovely and helpful and caring and supportive, but there were definitely some drivers who scared me.
Yeah, that would, our son used to be a cyclist until all the drive, he was like, I can't handle the drivers. So I get what you're saying mm-hmm. there, and that was just locally. So tell us about what you learned in terms of reversing all the negativity that you were thinking before you started. Like, are you in a better place today Were you in a better place, you know, 20 minutes into the ride? How has this affected you?
I would definitely say I'm in a better place today than I was. The ride was really transformational for me personally. And, you know, that idea of coming to love myself really opened up just a lot of caring and compassion for me as a person. And also, like, made me aware that there's a lot of people out there who also care about me. And I think when I left, that was something that I didn't know. It seems silly to say that, but it took pushing myself to this really extreme edge to realize that there are a lot of people out there rooting for me, and that I'm not actually as alone as I felt in that moment. And so that is definitely something that, you know, came with me that I got to remember. And and then just in relation to my own body, I feel like I have gone on this kind of seesaw of like, oh, I love my body. And then I go through periods where I'm like, oh, I don't love my body. And as I've been reengaging with my story, just through the writing process, it's been really, really helpful for me to revisit what that experience and journey was like, and to remember that, you know, there's a lot to love about my body. Even, you know, when there's things that I look at and I'm like, oh, I don't like how that is. I'm like, there's a lot to care about. It is a vehicle for me. It doesn't matter so much what it looks like. What can it do?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. How long did it take you to go from point A to point B? And did you have any moments where you're like, what am I doing? I'm not doing this. I'm turning back, or I need a ride, or whatever. You know, like, how tempting was that when a car passed by to go, stop and pick me up and drive me the rest of the way, please?
Yeah, I planned the ride to take 80 days, and it did take me 80 days, but I wouldn't say that was a linear 80 days, if that's possible. So the first time I rode in something other than my bicycle was pilot car rides in Wyoming. I didn't have a choice. They were like, this is a construction zone. You're going to ride in these three different pilot cars. And so that was, you know, if I had thoughts that I was going to be out there and riding every inch of the country, that was, you know, that was demolished in that moment. But I kept on, like, okay, well, whatever, that wasn't a thing. And then when I was in Colorado, I had just come out of the mountains, and I was actually in a town when this massive thunderstorm happened. And so I was like waiting in different places. I was waiting under a tree, and then I realized that wasn't safe. And then I was waiting at a gas station, and then I was like, oh my gosh, this is a lightning storm. What if this gas station explodes? So I moved over to, there was a restaurant next to the gas station, and I thought that was a little safer place. And it was just a forever downpour storm. And this man had shown up to get takeout at this restaurant where I was hanging around outside. And they invited me in, the restaurant people, and they're like, here, do you want some tea? And I was like, okay. And the man said, well, I could give you a ride to wherever you're going in town. And okay, I don't actually know where I'm going in this town. It's not a very big town. Was it going to hurt? So he gave me a ride a couple blocks, which I thought was charming and lovely. And so I definitely had moments like that. As I started to get hotter, I was definitely more open to, do I need do I need some relief somehow? It didn't ever turn into, well, actually I did try hitchhiking one day. I did not actually succeed in getting a ride through the normal way. Somebody might get a ride hitchhiking, but yeah, I definitely had moments where I was like, this is too intense. I can't keep going. And eventually I decided that I did need to take a break from the heat because it was, you know, I was threatening my life to keep going the way I was going. So yeah. I did take a break for a little while and then come back to the route.
And, you know, also, are you alone in this? Is somebody biking with you? And did you worry about being safe with people, strangers giving you rides, you know, stranger danger?
I was alone, and I wasn't really looking for rides. I wasn't concerned about my safety so much in that respect. The man who picked me up and took me to the hotel, I don't know, you know, my radar said not a problem.
Right.
Maybe my radar is not really heightened the way other people's is. I don't know if everybody would have been comfortable in that situation, but he seemed like a very gentle man that I wasn't really concerned about. And then when I got a lift later in the country, a man had met me out on the road when I was at the Missouri state line. And one of the things he told me after he took my picture was all the men are friendly in Missouri. And I thought, well, that's a really interesting thing to say. Is it true?
Yeah. I'm sure you want to find out.
So my encounters throughout the course of that day and, you know, and in subsequent days, I kept hearing this man say, all the men in Missouri are friendly. And I was like, okay. So I did actually get a ride with a man.
That's funny. What about the women?
You know, I'm in the car and I was actually pretty distressed. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, what did I just do?
What
and
are
then
you
I
doing?
Heard this, all men in Missouri are friendly. And I was like, okay, just breathe into it, see if it's true. So,
and hope for a great outcome. What surprised you the most about this trip?
I think the themes of Americanness were the things I was most surprised by because I was least expecting it. I was like, I'm dressing in purple and orange for a reason, and at the time, I was not a news person. I didn't watch TV or listen to the radio. I really didn't have any idea what was going on in the world politically. And I was riding on the Transamerica Bicycle Trail, and I was giving out these decals to businesses along the route that had that were branded by Adventure Cycling, and they had a flag on them. And I knew about the story about the Transamerica Trail, how it was established in 1976 to celebrate the bicentennial of the United States of America. And, it, you know, it has this kind of patriotic roots to it. And, you know, so I hadn't really been thinking a whole lot about this other than, you know, there was an American flag on these things that I was handing out. And then when I was headed toward the Great Plains, a friend of mine mentioned on Facebook, like, you know, you might want to carry an American flag for safety. And I was like, why would that be the case? And then the first place that I stopped, once I hit the plains, there was this very nondescript store, kind of like in a building with no windows, and there was an American flag hanging behind the cash register. There weren't any flags for sale, but I was like, huh, okay, so that's interesting. whatever the flag is, like, there it is again. And so I have in mind, like, maybe a flag would be helpful, but I really started thinking a lot about what the flag meant. As I was more in the plains, there was a lot more, like, people had flags in their yards, and there were just flags kind of everywhere in the landscape, and it had me thinking a lot more about what did it mean to be American. And then when the day the man said, you know, all the men in Missouri are friendly, he also told me I need to go get pie at this town down the road. And so I went there. I wasn't planning on going there, but because he recommended this, I thought, well, I should go. And when I came out, I realized, like, the building was white, the sign was red, it was right next to a post office. There was a big flag flying in the sky, and the sky was blue, and I was like, oh, this is like this red, white, and blue thing, and this man was so nice. He said, go get the pie, and all the men are friendly, and the people at the pie place were really nice, and I thought, you know, maybe that's what America is about, is this friendliness, this openness, this welcome that people have when you're interacting with them on an individual basis. It doesn't, you know, the other stuff doesn't really seem to matter so much as, like, my heart and your heart. And I thought, I think I might be able to get behind that idea.
In your years, you know, how old were you at this time? Like 33 at this point. Had you not experienced that before? Just curious, or to that level of awareness and depth, or, because I'm from the Midwest, it's pretty, things that you're mentioning, it's like standard Midwest stuff. I'm from Iowa,
yeah.
And if you were biking through Iowa, we'd be like, hey, what do you need? You know, kind of thing. And so had you not had those experiences before of you know, community and friendly towns and things like that?
Well, it's hard to say.
Sure.
Because there's a certain part of, I grew up in Wyoming. I spent time in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a few years. You know, I was in Colorado, and I don't know. Like, some of it is, how much of it is just like, I'm an introvert and I wasn't really aware of that kind of thing, or I just hadn't really put myself so much out in communities. Like, I've been an adventurer, but I went mountain climbing where I wasn't really in the towns per
totally
se.
Fair. Yep. No, I get it. Yeah. And I think that's the nice thing about, one of the cool things about, like, the Midwest and things like that, introverts are comfortable because the community is like, who are you and how can I help you and things like that. And Maine's a lot like that too. You can come to Maine and people are real friendly like that too. It's very throwback. It sounds like you had quite an adventure and so much fun. I want to just remind people, because we had a bunch of people just joining us, that we're speaking with Heidi Byerly, and she's the author of Heidi Across America. And the book tells her story of going from Eugene, Oregon to Washington, D.C. on her bike and more. And there's so much to the book beyond that, so many lessons that you learned and things like that. We have a couple more questions for you, if you don't mind. What did you think was probably the most difficult thing that you encountered to kind of capture that experience in writing? Can you hear me okay?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm like, sorry for the silence. I'm like, wow, the most difficult part to experience to capture in writing. I want to say two things, maybe. One has to do with the heat. And I'm a pretty, like, I don't really get angry or upset. I'm usually, like, trying to see all the sides of a situation. And as I was writing, it was like I needed to have like a real genuine meltdown temper tantrum at some point. And it took a lot to get me into that place, but then I really enjoyed it once I did. So that was definitely a challenge in the writing, something to transfer is like, what is all of that stuff that heat does to a person, to sort of set my logical brain aside and be like, okay, yeah, I was upset.
As you were writing the book, what did you learn about your bike ride across country? Were there things that you were like, oh, I wish I would have done that differently, or things I wish I would have had with me? Is there, you know, as you were reflecting on the events, was there anything that you would have changed or done differently, or, you know, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I was working on the story, I actually started to learn what the story was about. So there's not necessarily anything differently I would have done in terms of the ride. And well, actually I'm going to change that. In order to have the experience I had, I needed to do all the things that I did to sort of get me to that place to break down all of my coping mechanisms or whatever it was. But what I would do differently the next time, and what I'm trying to keep in mind as I launch the book this time going across the country, is not to over-program myself. I had so many things that I needed to do that I wasn't sleeping well, you know, and it was just like stressful the whole time. It wasn't really an adventure, or, you know, I didn't necessarily feel like I could go follow my curiosity down this dirt road or whatever, because I had to get to somewhere, or I needed Wi-Fi because I was logging or whatever. So, different for the future would be not to be so overprogrammed. I couldn't enjoy the experience.
Got it. And then what do you hope readers take away from reading Heidi Across America?
I'm really looking forward to readers having just an experience of how to get unstuck themselves from a place that is difficult. You know, whether they're going through a divorce, or they're feeling depressed or unworthy or whatever it happens to be, that there really are opportunities in your life to remake yourself. And it doesn't require, you know, riding across the country on a bike by yourself. It can be, you know, as easy as accessing, you know, the nearby world or other things like that. I think part of what I really appreciated is in being exposed to the landscape and the people and the animals and everything out there, I really started to see I wasn't alone, because I was part of this fabric of life. And I really invite readers to embrace that idea that they're not alone, because they're part of everything around them.
That's great information. It's been great having you with us. We're kind of running out of time here, but before we go, what's next for you? Would you go on that ride again, a different one? Do you have other goals, or what's going on in your life right now? And what do you have planned?
Well, in order to launch the book, I am headed out again, and I'll be going on a slow travel journey, so it will involve my bike and probably other modes of transportation. I feel like this journey across the country this year is a really great opportunity to remember that lesson learned, like not overprogramming myself, but really giving myself some spaciousness and flexibility to be present the landscape, with the people, with the communities. And I really am looking forward to having conversations with people about what it means to be a slow traveler, what it means to love America, and hopefully, you know, there's another thing that comes out of that, because it's
beautiful.
Like,
No, beautiful. And people can follow you at HeidiAcrossAmerica.com. Is that right?
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Well, it has been wonderful to get to know you better and to hear about your book and your adventures and journeys. And we'll definitely be following you. And maybe you'll come back again and give us an update. That'd be lovely.
All right. Wonderful. I'm looking forward to
Perfect.
That. Thank you.
All right. Well, yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here. And best of luck with your book. Everybody go out and grab your copy of Heidi Across America. It's available wherever books are sold. And go visit Heidi at HeidiAcrossAmerica.com. Heidi, thank you again for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
All right. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. We're so glad you tuned in. Be brave, be bold, be you, and remember to visit us at besteveryou.com.